Father, through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we live in a world where there are many cool things. There's lots of stuff that sometimes we desire. There's things that would probably make our life a lot easier. There's things that that we think would improve our lives as well, God. But Father, we pray that you would instill in us your Holy Spirit and trust that you are the source of the fulfillment of all good things in our lives. That you are the source that you are our source, Lord. You are our goodness. You are our holiness. You are our righteousness, Lord. Help us live for you for all good things. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
So, I a couple weeks ago, I spoke about an encounter I had when I taught inner city youth at St. Louis at an after school program when I was at the seminary. And one of the things that I would do, that I would take turns with the other guys that didn't become pastors, is usually once and sometimes twice a week, depending on the rotation, we would get a devotion for the kids. And one week, I brought out a big jar of candy that we had. And I said, I'll tell you what, guys. You can do whatever you want, because I know you always complain. You always complain that we have to do this, we have to do the devotion, and we have to do our homework, and then we get to go play basketball. You always complain. Mm. So I'll tell you what. You can do whatever you want until, but when someone comes and takes a piece of candy out of this jar, it's done. It's over. You can't do whatever you want anymore. You have to do what we ask you to do. I put the jar down, and not a second goes by before the first kid runs and tries to grab a piece of candy. God said, you can eat from whatever you want, but you cannot eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And yet, the serpent came and tempted Eve. And Eve brought it to her, the fruit to her husband too as well after she ate it. And he fell too as well. Where the devil made man fall, the devil thought, why not make the Son of Man try to fall as well? Or perhaps I should flip it like this. Where man could not withstand the temptations of the devil, where Adam and Eve failed, what would happen when Jesus went to face the serpent, when Jesus went to face down Satan? Jesus' ministry began, of course, by going to the Jordan River, where he encountered his cousin, known as the Baptist, right? John the Baptist. And John baptized Jesus. And we know that from the scriptures that the heavens opened up and the Holy Spirit descended upon Jesus like a dove. And the Father said, you are my beloved Son. And with you, I am well pleased. It was halftime when I was on the freshman football team at Galena High School in Reno. And we were, at that point of the season, we were 7-0, we were undefeated, and we were tied 13-13 with the Reno Huskies. And an assistant coach of the team, Coach Cirillo, gave a halftime speech. And the thing that to this day that I remember that still I've got the hairs just standing up on my just right now I've got goosebumps thinking about this. He looks at us and he says, "Football is a game of violent contact." And that's all he needed to say. And of course, we went out and slaughtered the Reno Huskies the rest of the game. Football is a game of... It's like he gave us permission again to go out and hit the other team. It was like... And unleashed the rage. It was a pep talk, right? God told his son, "You are my beloved son, and with you I am well pleased." And then the Spirit led Jesus out into the wilderness. And what was the purpose? Jesus fasted 40 days and 40 nights and went without food, and he was hungry. And his purpose was to be hungry and to be in a spot of human weakness where he would face the devil. Remember, God, his Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and the Son of God, he's pretty interesting. The second part of the Trinity, he's a pretty interesting guy, right? He is completely God, but he is also completely man. And so he has needs just like you and I have, or have, I should say. Could you imagine going 40 days and 40 nights without food? I struggle going 4 hours without food. And so, the very first temptation, the devil comes to Jesus and says, "If you are the Son of God," notice that, "if you are the Son of God, take this stone and turn it into bread." And you know what always happens, and it's like I need this reminder every time this text comes up. I think to myself, what is the big deal? You're hungry. Who are you going to hurt by turning the stone into bread? But then I think back to teaching those young men, those young boys in St. Louis. And a kid asked me the question, "Do you mean the whole world is screwed up because a guy and a girl decided to eat a piece of fruit?" Yeah. When you put it that way, it sounds pretty harsh and silly, right? But the world is screwed up because the creation, the crown jewel of God's creation, humankind, rejected the Creator. And so, yes, that piece of fruit was a big deal. And when you see who is tempting Jesus, and it's something that isn't inherently bad either, right? When you're hungry, you need food. When you have to get to work, you need your car to run. God knows you need these things, right? Jesus is fasting for 40 days, and it was his Father's will for him to be out there. So that's one big reason why he didn't need to eat the bread, is because it wasn't God's will for him to eat bread at that point in time. But furthermore, had Jesus fallen for the lie of Satan, if he would have fallen for that, that's no big deal. It's just a piece of bread. You're the Son of God. Turn this stone into bread and eat. Why are you doing this? Had Jesus done that, then he wouldn't have been perfect because he wouldn't have fulfilled his Father's will. And therefore, he would not have been a perfect sacrifice. So that piece of bread that Christ would have eaten would have foiled the entire salvation for the world, because he would not have taken your place as a perfect sacrifice. So yes, that stone into bread was a big deal. That leads us to the second temptation. The devil took him to the holy city, Jerusalem. So he takes him out of the wilderness. And he takes him to the pinnacle of the temple, the top of the temple. This was the place where God was worshipped. And he said, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. When I have had to deal with spiritual warfare issues, and yes, the stuff that you think you see more in the movies and things, but like when someone has to have their house cleansed because maybe someone, a neighbor who is part of an occult, and happens to bring some crazy things onto their Christian neighbor. When I've gone in, I've read those words because they're from Psalm 91. Psalm 91 is written for just that, spiritual warfare. And oddly enough, Satan is using those words from Psalm 91. He is using scripture to tempt the Son of God to say, throw yourself down. Because the angels aren't going to let you strike your foot against the stone. Because you're the Son of God, right? Surely, God will not let you strike your foot against the stone. And again, if you are the Son of God, prove it. Here is one of the things that is also interesting about this. Why did God send his Son into this world? How do we know who the character of God is? Well, we know who God is because, and we know his character, and we know that God loves us because of his Son. Because Jesus Christ revealed himself to be the Son of God, right? And that's a big part of salvation, is understanding that this guy from Nazareth, Jesus, he is the Christ, he is the Messiah, he is the Son of God. That's a big part of it. So what's the big deal? Certainly, throw yourself down and publicly show everybody in God's holy city, Jerusalem, that you are the Son of God. But it wasn't God's will for Jesus to reveal himself in that way. And again, it's trying to fall into the devil's trap. In our lives, there are things that we know that we shouldn't desire, and there's things that we know that we shouldn't do, and we do them and we sin. But you know what I realized this week, what really just came over me? Just going about daily life, what's almost more dangerous than a white lie from Satan is a half-truth from Satan. Knowing that something is good, but going about it the wrong way. I don't know what was in Eve's mind and Adam's mind when they first decided to eat the fruit. But I know that Satan told them, you're not going to die. So there's the white lie. And then there's the half-truth. But if you eat it, you're going to be just like God. Well, God is good. And sometimes we desire to do good, and we desire to be good. And so we sometimes do the good work to show off and say, look at how good we are, right? That's why I've brought up this image of you, for you guys, of the guy being stuck on, if you're stuck on the side of the road because your car breaks down. Does the person pick you up to say, hey, I see you need a ride? And maybe that person's thinking, you know what, look, God, I'm righteous and wonderful. I'm helping this person because he gets stuck on the side of the road. Sure, it benefits you because you were picked up, right? But that person is saying before God, look at me, God, I'm righteous, I deserve your blessing. Is that truly a good work before God? But imagine someone who has salvation from Jesus Christ and knows that they're already saved. And they see the person broken down on the side of the road, like, oh man, that person needs help. It doesn't matter if I stop to help you or not, or if you stop to help me or not. You already have your salvation before God. Therefore, that person is truly pulling over to the side of the road to help you out, right? So why we do things matters. What we desire does matter. Are we desiring things because they think that they're going to fulfill us? Do we desire things because they think it's going to solve problems and make us good? Or are we looking to the Lord Jesus? Jesus answers Satan. He uses scripture and battles him because not only does he have the word, he is the word of God. And of course, when it comes to the bread, he says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from God. Meaning that I know that I have my earthly needs. I need bread to eat. I need food. But more so, I need the word of God. Because we're not just meant to be alive in this world, but we're meant to be alive for all eternity with Christ. The eternal things matter. God matters. Right? And when Jesus is taken to that pinnacle, Jesus says, again it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. God, if you are good and you love me, prove it to me by doing this. There are times, and I've had these moments too, where how the day is going, I want to look at God and say, God, whatever I've done to make you angry, I'm sorry. Can you stop this now? There are times where that hits me. At the very least, at least I'm going to God, but it's still not right. Because in those moments, you want to step back and breathe and say, Lord, I trust you. Because where there are times, yes, where there's false religions and there's lies and there's people who worship the devil. Satanism is on the rise in our nation. The occult is on the rise in our nation. It's still very fringy, but it's becoming more and more common now. Most of the time we deal with the devil is the overarching lies that come into our lives and the feeling of despair and doubt and distrust in God. That's where we normally face the devil. Is the fears, the doubts, and the despair, and the lies. And our desire to be good, but not go about doing it the right way, going about doing it the quick and easy way. Speaking of the quick and easy way, I am not sure if the devil understood the cross. In fact, I can't help but wonder if the devil knew that the cross would be his undoing. I just don't know why he would have tempted Judas to betray Jesus. I think the devil was hoping Jesus was going to die and be crucified. I believe that. And yet, for Jesus, imagine the easy way out. You know that God has sent you into this world. Your Father has sent him into this world to die on the cross and to reveal himself to the world that way, to suffer for the sins of the world, and then on the third day rise. Sure, okay, it's only a couple days that you're dead, and then you have eternal glory for all time, right? The cross was the most gruesome way to die. And the suffering that he would incur was awful. What he had to endure was awful and terrifying. It was a wretched death he had to go through. And he knew he had to do that. So the devil, though, takes him up to a high spot and says, if you worship me, I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world. Again, it's like, man, Jesus, you're God. This is your creation, right? But we see that man gave dominion over to the devil. We And therefore, Jesus doesn't say, it is written that man has dominion over the world, Satan. Instead, he says, be gone, Satan. This is denying. For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Where coveting comes in, oftentimes for a lot of us, it's sometimes it is just, you know what? I would much rather just watch TV than get things done. So sometimes it's that simple. But oftentimes where coveting comes in and desiring the false desires is to take the easiest way out possible and to look for a quicker, better solution. Waiting on God can be tough and difficult. And Jesus, knowing that he was going to have to walk the hard road, the long road to the cross, knowing that he was going to have to pick it up and carry it after being beaten and bruised, still said, that is the way I must go. Because I'm going to serve my Father. And I'm going to go to the cross. Because I'm going to die for this creation that I love. Because that is how they're going to be set free. Not by me bowing down and becoming a slave. God is not going to take us on the easy road as his people. He's not. We are going to go through trials in this world because this is not our heavenly home. And yet, we are secure. Because even when we fall short, the one who is greater than us, the new Adam, the one who makes us new every day, Jesus, he defeated Satan. He beat him. He didn't fall in his traps. He maintained his righteousness. And he shares that righteousness with you because you have been baptized into his death and his resurrection. And he took your place on the cross. And he promises to fulfill every desire if you trust in him. It may not be when you want it. Because boy, there's nothing more convenient than, hey, I'm hungry, let's go through the drive-thru, right? Sometimes God works slower because he's trying to grow us and make us better human beings, right? Sometimes it's just not time for him to reveal himself or to move in our lives. And he just wants us to wait. Or sometimes he's working in our lives and we just can't even see it and comprehend it. Because God is always there, right? What is one of the names for Jesus? Emmanuel. God with us. He is. So you don't have to fear Satan. And what is the most secure way to defeat coveting? Give thanks to God. To trust in him. To love him. What is the best way to... Hey, we're talking about the world's issues, man. We know what we got to do. We got to do X, Y, and Z. We got to vote this way. We got to do this. And people would do this or that or that or that. Look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. Because he is the Savior. He is the Messiah. The world is overwhelming with its issues and its problems. We simply need to look to Jesus. And make him. Because he loves us. And that's the start. That's the way to begin shining the light. To be his salt. To be his light in this world. Amen.
Amen.
And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds, and keep them from now until life everlasting.
Amen.